The following audio is from Redeemer Anglican Church in Richmond, Virginia. More information about Redeemer is available online at redeemerrva.org.
Our first lesson comes to us from the New Testament book of Titus, beginning in chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now let's stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 2, 1 through 14. Dear ones, the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Amen. Let's be seated. Well, once more, good morning, church. Good morning to you all. For those of you who are new and visiting for the first time, welcome to Redeemer. My name is Dan. I'm grateful to serve as a pastor here. I hope your Christmas morning was sweet. It was in the Murata house, and I hope it was in yours as well. I think there's something just incredibly perfect about the fact that it was pouring rain last night and that the sun set at like 2 p.m. And this morning, the sun is shining. That's perfect. That's exactly how Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are supposed to go, right? So what I'd like to do for the next few minutes is lead us in a very brief meditation on our first lesson, the text from the book of Titus, chapter 2, 11 through 14. If you can flip in your order of worship so that that text is in front of you, I'd like to just observe a few things. Here's the main idea. If you want to become the person you are made to be, you need Christmas. If you want to become the person you are made to be, you need Christmas. Now, here's the context. Not everyone is familiar with this little book in the New Testament called Titus. Titus is not the author, he's the recipient. The Apostle Paul is the author. He's writing to his co-worker and friend, Titus, who is ministering on the island of Crete, this Greek island. And the Cretans desired a virtuous life. His audience wanted a lot of good things. They wanted to be good, moral, just, truth-telling, right-living kind of people. But they were struggling, and Titus was trying to help them. And so the Apostle Paul writes to Titus, and he tries to show him how Titus can communicate the good news of the gospel to them in a way that they can understand. Now, in order to wrap our minds around this, I need to introduce you to a new word. Some of you might actually already know this word, but for many of you, this will be a brand new word. The word is paideia. Kids, can you guys say the word paideia? Paideia. Okay, here's the idea. Paideia is this Greek concept, this ancient Greek concept for the process by which you become the ideal human being. It's all of the education you need and the training you need and the formation you need, every little aspect and angle of life that helps you become the person you were made to be. Paideia, that's the idea. And the Apostle Paul is using this concept of paideia in this little text. If you look at verses 11 through 14 there in front of you, you'll see these little phrases: renouncing passions, living self-controlled, living upright, zealous for good works. Here's what he's talking about. In renouncing passions, he's saying, well, this is what it looks like to get rid of all the stuff in your life that's making a mess of your life. Here's how to say no to the bad stuff. Living self-controlled, here's how to kind of pull things together. Here's how to be disciplined. All of us are heading into the new year, and we're probably, many of us, going to make some New Year's resolutions. That's okay. It's a great thing to do. But so many of our New Year's resolutions are going to center around this virtue of self-discipline, right? How can I be more self-controlled? And then living upright. How can I be a member of society that actually contributes? Zealous for good works. How can I want the right things? You know, I think so many of us, when we look in the mirror, we realize that we don't always want the things we're supposed to want, right? We don't always want the things we want to want. So often we want things that we know aren't good for us. Zealous for good works. How do I want the things that I know are good for me? Paideia. This is the idea. And paideia isn't even a uniquely Christian idea. It's a human idea. How do I become the person I know that I'm supposed to be? Now, here was the problem. The problem for the Cretans and also, I think, the problem for us. Greek paideia wasn't enough. Greek culture didn't have the resources to produce the virtues they aspired to. You see, the gods of Greek religion were not virtuous gods. They were gods who lied, gods who stole, gods who deceived, gods who envied. To be a virtuous Greek was to aspire to be better than the gods. And our culture, I think, if you'll give me a little bit of rope here, I think our culture struggles with the very same dynamic. We want a society where people are peaceful, where people are selfless, where people are generous, self-controlled, but our culture doesn't have the resources to produce and form and shape these kinds of virtues in people. And what's more, our culture has come to think of the Christian God as not all that virtuous, right? And so we try to be good. But what happens when we fail? We condemn each other, don't we? And furthermore, towards what kind of agreed upon vision do we all strive? No consensus at all. All of these competing visions and definitions of what it even means to be good. And so we can't agree on what we're supposed to be. And when we fail each other's standards, we condemn each other. Friends, that is a recipe for anxiety and impossibility. It's like we live between these two poles. The impossibility of what we're striving to, because we can't even agree on what that is. And the anxiety that we're not living up to it. This impossible standard that we're all falling short of. Living between anxiety and impossibility. Does this sound about right? So, here's what the Apostle Paul shows his friend and coworker Titus, and here's what he shows us. Paul shows Titus that his church needs a different starting point and needs a different end point if their training, their formation, their paideia is going to work. And so Paul sets out two poles, two ends of the spectrum for Titus and his little church on the island of Crete to live between. And the two poles are this. The first one is in verse 11, the appearing of grace. Grace. Paul is talking about Christmas. God comes to you in Jesus. It's a gift of grace. It's a gift unasked for, unlooked for. It's certainly an undeserved gift. For many of us, it's even sometimes an unwanted gift. God comes to us at Christmas, and it's a gift of grace. And this grace, this starting point, becomes the foundation for all of life. But that's not enough. You don't just need a foundation. You need an end goal. You need a vision that you're striving towards. And that's where the Apostle Paul, in verse 13, holds out glory, Christ's second coming, which is also the fulfillment of our lives, the fulfillment of our paideia. And so grace and glory become these two poles, these two kind of brackets that all of our life is to be lived between. Now, why do you need both of these? You need grace. You not only need a starting place, but you need a place to fall back to. And you need glory. You need to be striving and moving towards something. You need grace to fall back on, because in your striving, in your efforts, you will fail, yes. And rather than plummeting to your doom in condemnation, you will fall back on grace, which makes striving a safe thing to do. And when you fall back on grace, you then turn and orient yourself towards the glory, towards your future. But it's not just a bar to jump for. Do you know what that glory actually is? That glory is the promise and the guarantee that all of the efforts of this life are one day going to come to fruition, that Christ will return, and he will actually make you into the person that you know deep in your heart that you are made to be, which means that you can work without anxiety, without fear, because you know it is guaranteed you are going to get there. And so cycling between grace and glory becomes all of the Christian life. That's where Christian paideia happens. That's where all of our efforts happen. And so, friends, this Christmas, Jesus has come to redeem you. Allow his grace to become the foundation, the starting point for your life, so that when you fall, you land back on grace. God's grace becomes the rock bottom that you fall to. And then climb on towards glory. Don't be afraid to actually try hard. Listen, don't be afraid to actually try hard. Lack of effort is not the same thing as humility, right? Now, what does this produce in you? If you are living in this cycle, in this back and forth between grace and glory, what does that produce in you? It produces slow, steady, non-anxious growth. You actually can grow. You actually make progress. Not through sheer effort, but in the cycle of grace and glory, you actually are formed and transformed to become the person that you were made to be. So friends, this Christmas, may you live between grace and glory. Amen? Let's stand together.